Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. You know, I just love being here these Sundays and sharing time with you. Today, I wanted to really go back to the Gothic cathedrals again, because I think it's so important. We have the talk of many light workers about ascension, and I do believe that the purpose of the Gothic cathedrals was to help humankind expand and grow spiritually and to really lead people towards ascension. And I do believe that that event actually did happen. So since we're talking about some things that really are not well known, matter of fact, I think it's rather secret information, but it's coming forth now. I had been to Chartres Cathedral in France and loved that cathedral. It's one of my favorite places. And I bought a book that is hard to find here in the States. I actually had to go to England and buy this. It's called The Mysteries of Chartres Cathedral, and it is written by a Frenchman, Louis Charpentier, translated by a Sir Ronald Fraser. And the book is so fascinating. Something that is mentioned here that I wanted to pass along to you, it says, Gothic appeared after the First Crusade, and more precisely after the return in 1128 of the first nine Knights Templar. 12 years after this date, Suger, abbot of St. Denis, erected a Gothic vault on the Romanesque foundation of his abbey. The cathedral, anyway, they're talking about how these cathedrals were built and in what order. And the style was built in the Isle of France, which we know of as Paris, and in Champagne. So he is listing this or tracing it to the First Knights Templar. On the back of the book, he mentions something that I think is very fascinating. And he's talking about, of course, the Cathedral of Chartres and how it was built on a very old Druid site. And he has some questions. And he's talking about the Order of the Knights Templar and the knowledge of the Cistercians. And he wants to know, is this information of the Gothic cathedrals a lineal successor of the pyramids and the Temple of Solomon? You know, that's quite a fascinating question, isn't it? And he calls the cathedral a book in stone. And so he also talks about something that I think is fascinating. Is it a book in stone in which the learned brother architects inscribed the harmonic basis of a divine law of unity, which Moses had inscribed on the stones of Sinai? And so he takes it a little further, and he talks about that these men were wise of the actions of earth and the cosmos on man. In other words, the way the energies of the earth and the energies that come to the earth from the cosmos, they have a direct effect on a person if they stand in certain places in these different Gothic cathedrals. That it was a most extraordinary attempt to raise humanity to a superior state by the action of earth united with the actions of proportion and right dimension, harmonic sounds, and significant light. So that basically is what he is saying is used in the Gothic cathedral. I remember the first time I went to France, and I was standing in front of a Gothic cathedral. I wasn't in a place yet where I could understand energies and feel the energies, but I had someone there.
I apologize.
Your
audience can hear me right now. It's we got a bit of snow on the line. I'm just curious as to what you'd like to do.
Well, what do you say? Should we dial in? Would we eliminate it?
Yep, let's come off the air. Folks, we'll be right back. We do apologize. It looks like we got a really poor VoIP line. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Friends, sorry about that little interruption, but we will be back on the Gothic cathedrals, and we have a line that is more clear. So sometimes an interruption is a good thing. I was talking about the first time I was in France, and I had some wonderful ladies who showed me where to stand to feel certain energies. That was really a great learning experience. I had been to other cathedrals where there were certain marks on the floor, and if you stood on the marks, maybe a piece of slate that was a different color, you could feel the energies. And if you worked with it, the energies would take you to a certain place. And I remember in one of the Gothic cathedrals, the energies led me to a statue of the Blessed Virgin, and I was so curious at that because on her forehead there was a mark, a round circle, where you would think that the third eye was. These are all clues, my dear friends. You have to recall that the time that these cathedrals were built, knowledge was not shared freely. There was a dogma of the church that one had to follow. People would be persecuted for thinking differently than what was taught. So many of these messages are written in such a way that one has to seek and to understand what that particular cathedral or monument, we're talking about other monuments too, has to tell someone. And in the Chartres Cathedral, one time a year, on June the 21st, a ray of sun comes through a very small, well, it's not exactly an opening. If you think of the stained glass, and you think of a stained glass window with all of the colored pieces of glass there, there is a little place in that window that is clear glass. There is no color in it. And so the light comes through that clear glass and hits a particular spot on the floor. And it is marked. It is marked with a different color stone. People think of it as a curiosity, but to me, these aren't curiosities. It is clues that are placed here and there for someone to pick up an intriguing thought and then follow the thought. And so what seems to occur is that many of these Gothic cathedrals are built on, in France they call them telluric lines. In England they would be called the Mary Michael lines. We've had some famous people who have doused those lines and mapped them out. So we're really talking about the same kind of energy. It is an energy that runs underneath of the earth. It is electromagnetic. It is part of the earth. And, of course, your cosmic rays are coming from out in the cosmos, and the electrical component of these two are different from one another. And one of the things that I found so fascinating about Chart is the spire. There's a spire on the cathedral where the if you think of the cosmic energy, it's like a tuning fork. The energies are coming from the cosmos down through the spire. And when a person stands in a doorway, which is built over top of a deep well of water below, most of these places have sacred wells. And these wells come up from the earth, and they are carrying the electromagnetic energy from deep within the earth. And so this spire is as high as the well is deep, which means when someone stands in the doorway, these two energies connect, or you might say pass over one another right at the heart center. The heart center is one of those areas that when a person is opening up to the world of spirit and wishes to advance, it's one of the hardest centers to open. And it is so because humanity has been under the control and domination of the dark forces for so long. And so there is a certain amount of closure there because people are in the midst of protecting themselves, so to speak. So there, the Templars were responsible for, really, for gathering the information from that trip that, if you know a little bit of history about them, you know that nine knights went to Jerusalem and did some digging under the temple, which would be the Temple of Solomon. And it's always questioned, well, did they bring back information? What information did they bring back? And apparently they did, because as they mention in this the Mysteries of Chart Cathedral, it wasn't long after that before the Gothic cathedrals were sprang forth in the building of these incredibly beautiful edifices. And each one of the cathedrals have a certain chakra that they are opening up. And so that there was a pilgrimage that was made. And you might be familiar with that word from the Middle Ages, because if you think of the time, there wasn't the roads that we have today. There wasn't the transportation. There wasn't a protection. You know, the lands were open. Anyone who traveled, the land was open to robbers. Anybody who came through on a pilgrimage and looked like they had any money, any wealth, they were open to being attacked. So going on a pilgrimage, you know, we jump in our cars and we'll go someplace and we don't give any thought to it. You know, ride on modern roads, have cell phones in case we get into some trouble, can stop at any restaurant and get something to eat if we're hungry. But back in the time of the Middle Ages, none of that existed. So for someone to leave their home and go on what was called a pilgrimage, this was a dangerous trip. Not only was there danger, but one had to have a particularly strong drive to participate in this. And if you see any of the routes of the pilgrimages, we're talking about vast distances that the pilgrim would have traveled. And how would they have traveled? Would they have been on horseback? Would they have been in a carriage? Would they have walked? Many, I would suspect, walked. And so this was quite an undertaking. And I would imagine there were many who didn't make it. They didn't make it back home. They died along the way somewhere. And so it didn't prevent people from doing this, and there were many who traveled on this route. And so the question is why. They had some understanding of the purpose behind all of this. They were looking for advancement of a spiritual nature, and they certainly felt that they would find it in these sacred places. Something that I found extremely interesting in this particular book is the locations of where these different cathedrals are located, at least the cathedrals that are dedicated to Mother Mary. They would be having the names of Notre Dame somewhere in the title. And so there is a map, and this gentleman makes a drawing of all of the cathedrals that have the name Notre Dame in it. And what is so fascinating is when you see that map, why, it looks just like the constellation of Virgo, which is so fascinating because if you think about this, the constellation of Virgo is thought to be Mother Mary's constellation. People considered that as belonging to her. And so looking at the map, it is just amazing how the map of the cathedrals mark this map in the sky. And this is true of so many sacred things that have been handed down to us in different places in the world where knowledge, secret knowledge, is being transferred as a record to humanity. You will find along the route somewhere that it is a duplication. The layout, the places, is like a duplication of a star map. So there seemed to have been a great desire on the parts of these very knowledgeable human beings to connect what was happening in the Earth to a star system. Now, you might say, well, why could they possibly be trying to connect something to a star system? Well, I do believe that part of it, you know, in this day and age, light workers hear all the time about different stargates opening, different energies coming through, and how to use those energies. And so I do believe that what was behind all of this was a linking up, so to speak, to the energies of certain star systems. And we're starting to understand now that even there is a linking up to the center of this particular galaxy, as it is discussed, that the Mayans have given us information about that particular period of time, 2012, when there is an alignment to the center of our particular galaxy. So there, no matter where this information comes from, the ancients seem to believe that there was some correlation between energy, between the construction of temples and pyramids. There seemed to be some guidance as to how this energy could be transferred to human beings and intensified in such a manner that it would make changes in the physical body. And we are all coming back to the point of what changes in the physical body are we talking about? What opens up? What connection is there for human beings to understand something greater than what they are? Well, one of the things that seems to be in some of the Gothic cathedrals, there was a plan that was laid out where there was a pattern of some sort. Some might call it a maze, where someone walked a path. And I had the remarkable gift to be able to walk that path at Chartres Cathedral. And when one meditates upon that in a magnificent cathedral, we were fortunate enough to be there after the cathedral had closed, and there was no one else except the 20 people that I visited the cathedral with that particular time. And as the sun was starting to set, all of these light rays were coming in through the rose windows. And you couldn't help but be attracted to these windows, because as you made your path through this pattern that was on the cathedral floor, you would be facing a window every time you turned around. And as the light was coming through, I do believe it helped to intensify what you were meditating on and what you were receiving. And I would like to mention what you were receiving. One of the things about the Gothic cathedrals, and in particular the glass that was in the windows, some of the glass has been replaced, but the early windows that were not replaced, what the glassblowers actually did was they took sacred gems and ground them and put them in the glass. So you'll see certain colors seem to be used more than other colors, and they are this incredible blue, which is the sapphire. They actually ground up sapphires and put it in the glass. There is the incredible reds, which the glassmakers ground up rubies and put it in the glass. And of course, you'll see a lot of green, which were the emeralds that they ground up and put into the glass. I had the great fortune to be in one of the cathedrals where the glass was lower. So many of the cathedrals, the glass is very high on the walls, so a person doesn't have an opportunity to really stand in that glow from the sun. They see it, but they don't stand in it. And I was in a cathedral with a group of ladies, and I happened to notice the glass window came down almost to the floor level. And as she stood there, there was a lot of blue that was in this particular window. And the sun shining through, I know this is hard to imagine this, but everyone there could see it. Her aura was completely lit up in blue. You could see her standing there. You could see her aura surrounding her. And you could see that the energy from the sun and going through the window imbued her energy field with blue. Now, what could that possibly mean? I can't say, in the sense that none of the builders were there to tell me. There wasn't a written record, but to me, blue means truth. It had to do, I do believe, with the chakra, the throat chakra itself. opening up that spiritual center to truth. What we'll do now is I'm going to open up the lines. We'll talk more about the cathedrals. And if you have a question or you have had the opportunity to travel some of these routes, or your love, for instance, of the cathedrals themselves, give us a call here. Our number is 877-876-5227. Now, I found another book. This one is called Rosalind, Guardian of the Secrets of the Holy Grail, and it is written by Tim Wallace Murphy and Marilyn Hopkins. And they're talking about the existence of a configuration of seven pre-Christian sites, which formed the route of a pilgrimage of initiation used by Druids, Knights Templar, and Christian mystics in their search for true knowledge and enlightenment. And so what he says here is begins at Compostela in Spain, and the voyage of discovery proceeds to Toulouse, Orléans, Chartres, Paris, and Amiens. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, A-M-I-E-N-S, taking us deep into a mysterious world where hidden streams of spirituality flow beneath the surface of European history. And the journey ends at Rosalind Chapel in Scotland. And we know that the founders there was the Sinclair family, and their seemingly great connection to the Templars. So this, my friends, is, you might say, just scratching the surface of what is there. I think what is even more important is to be able to go to some of these places if you have the time, the inclination, the resources, because of the energies that you feel there. They are built on sites that are very ancient. The Druids used them. The Druids didn't build cathedrals as such. They would place boulders in the ground or some specially shaped dolmens, for instance. And it was a place of gathering, initiation. I wish they had written some sort of history that we could understand what they were teaching. And, of course, if they did, it is lost to humanity at this time. And so, in a sense, we have to go back and try and piece together the pieces to get to some of the deeper information. Shirley MacLaine wrote a book some time ago about her trip to Spain, where she walked that walk, and how during that walk, she remembered past lifetimes, how she remembered things that happened in Atlantis, and what she believed was that she was walking along an energy line. It is the same energy lines that we're talking about, I think, that would be on the equal with the Mary Michael lines. And there is something about that energy that opens up centers within the human body, which helps you to remember your past. I know so much of my memories of the past have come from locations, not necessarily here where I have been meditating, but you might say on the site, so to speak. If you've had some experiences like this where you have been to some sacred spots, and it could be here in the U.S. or other places, you know, there are vortexes everywhere. There are places where there is energy that is under the earth that brings forth water. There seems to be water associated with it in many of the places. And people feel the energy, and in feeling the energy and working with it, it opens up centers and they remember things or they learn things. So our number here is 877-876-5227. For those of you who are listening to this and perhaps are located here in the States, you might be very familiar with Sedona in Arizona. And it is, to me, a magnificent place. There is not a temple there in the sense of someone building a building, but it is a place of temples in the sense that erosion has caused these incredibly beautiful rock formations to present themselves to us, and they are in places of very strong earth energies. Well, we have a call, and your name?
Helene.
Hi, Helene.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
We're great, dear. What do you have to offer us?
Couple of things. I went to Sedona, and for one thing, when you look at the rocks, I just like saw all the Indian faces in them, and then I went to some of the vortexes, and at the airport vortex, I was meditating just a couple of minutes, went out of my body. Great energy there.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, yeah. And also on the tour, the TOR, in Glastonbury, England.
Yes.
I was climbing it, and then I fell, hit my knee, and I was just crying. I was all alone. It was good, though. And then I kind of settled in, and that was, I mean, I got this really deep connection to the earth then, and I really clearly realized, I felt like a tree was, like, nurturing me and healing me, and got this real sense that, you know, the earth was my mother, and, you know, the sky was my father, and it was really nice.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, yeah. I have a question for you, though. I was wondering, you know, talking about cathedrals, the cathedrals that are built in the States, do you think any of them have any sacred spots in them or not?
I don't know for sure because there are so many cathedrals, and it's hard to say, but I'm guessing, and I haven't been there to be certain of this, but I'm thinking about that Gothic cathedral that is over in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Washington has some energy spots in it, and if I were going to guess if any of them had was on a power spot, that may be, though something that you have to realize is that here in the States, we have, I mean, we consider 100 years as being old,
but it's not.
You know, you go to other places like Europe, I mean, we're talking about, you know, prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure that those who built cathedrals here in this later date were building with the idea of being on an energy spot.
Yeah.
You take a place like Sedona, and there's some other places out west that I think are on a par with Sedona energy-wise. You know, there's the Grand Canyon, for instance. There's Bryce National Park. I mean, I can think of many places out west where nothing is really built there, but it holds great magnetic energy. Have you been to any of these other places?
I have been to the Grand Canyon. Which was really wonderful. I haven't been into the canyon, you know, down inside. Yeah, I've been to the pyramids. That was pretty wonderful.
Well, what was your, are you talking about in Egypt?
Yeah.
What was your reaction about that?
It was just very still and holy. I think I was inside the Great Pyramid.
Yes.
And just did some chanting in there, and that was, pretty wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We go to these places, and I don't know about you, but I know I wish that there was somebody who understood all of that information and could guide us through it and tell us what it was all about. It's sort of like looking over somebody's shoulder, and we really don't have the information. We're like on the outside trying to look in.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to hang up and keep listening to all your wonderful information.
Thank you, Helene.
Thank you. Be well.
You too. Our number for others is 877-876-5227. Since Helene brought up the Sedona area, I remember being at Bell Rock. That had a profound awakening for me. And I saw myself there as an American Indian, as a shaman, actually. And I've told this story before, but you might not have heard it because I think it's a rather interesting story. Back in that time, I was there with some other American Indians from different tribes, and they meditated, but they didn't call it meditation. The American Indians were very attuned into the trips that they took into nature, and they understood how to bring forth information from the future. And this was right before the white man came out west, and they could see in the future what would be happening. So they gathered there, these different shamans from the different tribes, and they shared with one another what was going to happen. They could see that their lands would be forever changed with the white man going out west. And so they had this gathering, and they shared the information. And every time I passed Bell Rock that day, I would see the same scenes. We were in a hotel right next to Bell Rock, and every time I went in and out of the door, I saw the same thing. And so what the Indians did is they went back to the tribes, they went back to their leaders, and they told the leaders what they had learned. And, of course, it was up to the chief to decide how they were going to handle that. Well, some of the Indian chiefs decided that they were going to be peaceful and they were going to learn how to live with their white neighbor. Some of the tribes decided that they were going to fight for what was theirs, what they were not going to allow their lands to be taken over. And there were some tribes that decided that they were going to do neither. They were going to walk into the next dimension. And this is what they did. The Anasazi, for instance, took, and this to me is so fascinating, they took all of their possessions and they gathered them up and they walked into the next dimension. They are, one group of them is still there at Montezuma's Well. And I was there also and could hear them talking, which I find so fascinating, that here they are on Earth but in another dimension, and they chose to go there to live peacefully. And it's hard for us to understand this since we are in this very dense dimension that we are in. I can't say that I can explain any of it, just that this is what I experienced. And other ladies on the group, some of them saw the Indians, some of them who, we were with a lady who believes that she is a keeper there at Montezuma's Well. She saw them going into the next dimension. So what is so fascinating about all of that is the possibilities of human beings, the things that we can learn and the things that we can do. There seems to be no end, nothing that is impossible. And this, to me, is one of the great things that we can hope about. Nothing is impossible. It is a case of seeking out the information, working with it, trying to integrate it, but above all, to have a purpose. Our number here is 877-876-5227. Those who are listening, if there are some there who have been to some of these vortexes, either here in the States or in Europe or another country, give us a call. Tell us what your reactions are. How did you feel when you went to some of these places? Did you remember things from your past? Did that help you in your present life? Did it give you a new perspective of who you are, what the possibility is of human experience? Give us a call, 877-876-5227. Also, I want to mention, while we have a break here, I have started a Yahoo group where if you care to be part of our group, you can go to the website at www.carolynevers.com, and at the bottom of the sheet, at the bottom of that page, there is a place where you can click and join the group. I send messages out once a day of information very similar to what we're sharing here today. So if you find this information to be interesting to you, you might want to join the group. I think one of my favorite places, golly, I'm thinking now, it's kind of hard to think of a favorite place that I've been, but perhaps, yes.
Well, hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi, this is Donnie from Toronto.
Oh, hi, Donnie.
How are you?
We're great.
Okay.
What can we do? What would you like to share with us, Donnie?
Well, I had a chance to go to Sedona. I visited Sedona just last year.
Beautiful place, isn't it?
It's great. And I was at a workshop with Drinvalo Melchizedek.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I got to experience a lot of things. I just wanted to tell you about or share my experience with the medicine wheel.
Tell us, yes.
There was, I made friends with a healer there, so he took me around to some of the medicine wheels and some of the power spots there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the medicine wheels is beside, there's a Western Mysteries, I think it's a Mason's temple. It's just a square brick house-like building. And then to the left of it, there's a small medicine wheel, and it's hidden behind some bushes there. I think there were some kind of pine trees. And when I went near this medicine wheel, I got actually pulled in, you know, my body got moved to the center of the wheel and then walked around it.
Uh-huh.
And what I experienced was these beings that were the caretakers of the medicine wheel, like each medicine wheel I went to visit, there were beings that were responsible for it, and they had their particular talents and they did different things, right? So this medicine wheel, they were these, well, to me, they looked blue, kind of very dark blue, almost a navy blue. And they lived way, way deep under the earth. And for some reason, they felt really cold to me, like they were living in these caves, and it was, like, really cold. And they gave me a healing. Mostly they were chatting with me, you know, hi, how are you? And it was my first visit and that kind of thing. But they also gave my body a healing, like they laid these extra blue energy meridians.
Wow.
Or opened them up within me, and this kind of new energy started flowing within me. So that was one of the experiences.
Donnie, for people who might not be aware of what a medicine wheel is, could you describe it to people?
Yeah, sure. Physically, it's just a round pattern on the ground. But around geometric shape, and it's like a maze. You walk through it in a certain configuration. So if it's your first time visiting a medicine wheel, get somebody to show you, or if you have written down information on it, that's okay too. But you should like kind of follow it in a very particular fashion. When you follow medicine wheels like that, it changes things in your body. Like you said, it aligns the chakras and energy starts flowing better, and you can go through memory recall. It's also really good for getting rid of baggage, like emotional, you know, sadness. It could be like really old stuff from past life, and it'll cleanse it, it'll clear it.
Now, was your medicine wheel had stones, or was this in plants? Some of them have stones and some have plants. What was yours?
This one, I think it was stone. It was barely visible, like you really had to know it was there.
Right.
That was one of the ones. Another one that's a popular one in Sedona is, I think it's past that stupa. There's a Tibetan tile stupa, and then it's past that one. And it's quite a public one. It's a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got pulled into it and walked around it in a certain fashion and all this. And those beings, actually, that was interesting. It's Native American, and it's a fairly new one. I mean, the other one I visited was ancient. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of years old. But this other one, beside the stupa, past it, the big one, it's very visible and it's very public. It's a popular one. This one, it was put together by this very amazing medicine man, Native American. He's in the other dimension, and he called together all these different Native American groups, and he asked them to put this medicine wheel together. Like it's almost like it's not a natural phenomenon, but it's a phenomenon that they put together in the fourth dimension, and then it manifested in our world. And
wow.
This one is very special because their specialty is that each tribe has this special thing that they do for each chakra with different geometric shapes and colors and things. And so that's their thing. And so when you walk through your body, they imprint these geometric shapes and things, and it's really exhilarating for your body, and it turns things on, and it enables you in a very new and different way, and it's just like, it was totally like, I was like totally wired after I went for that one.
You know, I really appreciate you calling and sharing this with the audience, because there might be a lot of people out there who have never walked a medicine wheel, and you've opened up something new for them.
Oh, yeah, and I'd love to visit the Chartres Cathedral, too, because, you and a lot of other people have mentioned so many wonderful things.
Yes, it's very fascinating. We're getting up to the end of the hour, and we're going to have to leave, but thank you so much for calling in and sharing this. I really appreciate it. Bye. And so, my friends, you know, a day spending some time with you really does go by fast. I mentioned earlier about joining the Yahoo group. Also, go to the website at www.metatronminutes.com. We have a wonderful newsletter that we send out, and with, I do believe, very interesting information. And, of course, my website at carolynevers.com. I'm sure you would be interested in the things that we have there also. And so, my friends, it is time to leave. I look forward again to next Sunday. And also, next Saturday, we have a show this time when I have a healer that joins me. Tune in then and for another wonderful 2 hours that day. And so, my friends, for now, goodbye and in peace. Follow what you feel, dear friends, and trust your intuition. Goodbye for now.